Welcome in to a special edition of Light the Lamp. I'm Alexis Downey. Today was day one of the Anaheim Ducks training camp. Hockey is back in Orange Country, and man, did it feel so good to get back to the rink today. The guys took the ice in two different groups this morning, but we saw some new faces as a part of that. The additions in Chris Kreider, Mikael Granlund, and also Ryan Poehling. And of course, the new coaching staff for the first time leading this Ducks team. Head coach Joel Quenneville and assistants Ryan McGill and Jay Woodcroft as well. A lot of new faces and some great energy in the building. So we're going to bring you the training camp coverage that we were able to get here today. We first kicked things off with GM Pat Verbeek, who did speak about the contract situation with Mason McTavish. So you will hear that from the very beginning. He also spoke about the expectations this season, what the roster could look like, also the new additions to this group. Plenty for Verbeek to get into. So we'll get to bring you that interview first, and then following Verbeek, you'll get to hear from the new head coach, Coach Q. He chatted with us a little bit tired after his first day back out on the ice after a bit of time away from hockey. I don't want to give away too much of what he had to say, so just some excitement and enthusiasm from him, just looking forward to this group that he gets to work with this season. Following Coach Q, you'll get to hear from the captain, Radko Gudas, who was also very enthusiastic and also a little bit tired after this first skate. He knows a thing or two about the way Coach Q runs practices, having been with him in Florida during his time with the Florida Panthers. So some familiarity for him there, but also just spoke from the leadership perspective about what today meant to the group and how he really didn't have to say too much as there was plenty of excitement around the locker room. Next up, we'll get to hear from the newcomer, Chris Kreider. And this was his, I believe, first real media scrum since joining the Anaheim Ducks. So kind of getting used to that, a little different, obviously, after all of his time with the New York Rangers. But a lot of people wanted to hear from him, and he spoke at length about how this first practice was really about culture setting. It felt like for this team, as they look ahead to be more competitive this season. Then we'll also get to hear from Mikael Granlund. I chatted with him at length about this first day, and he had a shorter summer than most of the guys, of course, as he was a part of that Dallas Stars team that had a deep playoff run once again. So he has that experience at that level, something that made him stand out. And he was obviously a big free agent at the time when the Ducks were able to sign him back on July 1. So something that he is looking to build off of, just that skill set, that playoff mentality. He wants to bring that here to Anaheim. He knows his role. And he also just talked about what a good first day it was. And then last but not least, we get to hear from Leo Carlson, who was also a bit tired getting off the ice, said it was a fast, fun, hard first practice, a little bit longer too than they might normally go, but that's just the way it is when training camp kicks off. And you'll also get to hear who Leo got to golf with yesterday. Not a bad way to start off his busy week. So let's start out now with general manager Pat Verbeek and hear what he had to say to the media.
Big story, Mason McTavish, of course, unsigned. Rumored professor of opinion, why do you think that he's not signed at this moment?
Well, that's always a tough question. I think, you know, talks are ongoing. And, you know, we've made a lot of progress over the summer, but we're not there yet. So until we get there, you know, he won't be here. So
how would you characterize the talks so far?
Amicable, normal. All part of, you know, I've known Pat Morris for a long time. So, we both understand each other and know how each other goes about their business, so it's totally fine.
The progress that you talk about, has any of that taken place lately, or is it kind of grind to a halt here?
Not really. No, we're closing in, I would say. But if we're, like I said, we're not there yet. Until, you know, so both sides have to agree to, you know, to a deal.
These discussions with Mason, looking ahead to all the RFAs you have next season, does this affect how you think about those contracts or thinking to get any of these done earlier?
Well, we're kicking that around now internally. We've been discussing that. So that's stuff you always look at. But each individual is, each contract, they're all individually, done and looked at differently. So it's this, we have our process of how we go through and analyze each player's scenario or situation and come up with a game plan and try proceed to go through the process to get it done.
Is that a tricky thing to manage? Because like you said, you have more coming up on the docket. Is that tricky? And like you said, each is its own thing,
but
maybe one could impact the other and managing that.
I would say there's probably more outside influences, whether it's league influences that kind of become tricky with that situations versus internal. So, I don't consider it tricky. It's just the process and, things you have to go through.
That's for a comp, it's a couple of years ago with Zegras and Drysdale, those kind of took basically all of campus, whatever. How much are you looking to avoid or a similar instance in terms of being able to get them in here, get it done and get them in?
Well, obviously, when you talk about those players, I know you've mentioned Troy Terry and Dostal. I mean, in the end, all the deals that were done were all fair market value contracts. And so that's the process, where and how and when it gets done are a lot of different variables. But in the end, we feel that it's good for the team and good for the player, the deals that get accomplished.
Does not having one of your top two centermen in camp under a new coach, does that compromise your preparations for the new season?
It's disappointing that he's not here, obviously. I think that, we have virtually a whole new coaching staff and the group's really excited, like I've never seen before, but there's a lot, our new system that's getting implemented. There's a lot of things to learn and takes a lot of reps to, get it under, each player's belt. And so, when Mason gets here, he's got a lot of catching up to do. And so that's that more than anything. Like I've been through this scenario. Okay. It's not easy, to join mid camp or, miss whole camp. Camp is a very, very important part of the player's preparedness to go into the season. And so, from that aspect, it's disappointing.
What was it like to see Joel back out there, back in his element?
It's exciting. He's excited. The passion, the intensity, the vibrance that he brings, the players, they feel it, and they're excited about it. They can't wait, and obviously there's a lot of work to be done, a lot of things to hone in on or hone up better for this upcoming season. So that's all. That's part of the process that we have for training camp and exhibition games to really start to dial it in to get a good start to the season.
Can you tell a difference in the attitude and the tenor of the group coming into this year?
This year it's just, it's night and day. I think that, there's a couple where, obviously the coach has brought a lot of excitement. The players highly respect him. They respect his track record. So that's exciting for them. I think that with the addition of a few players and, to the group and I think the young players, looking at themselves getting better and taking a jump is exciting for them as well. So there's a lot of different variables coming together at the same time, which is very important.
Not just Q, but you've got Jay Woodfroff, yep. Brian McGill as yep. well, yep. basically an overhaul. How much of a difference can you see just this staff make?
Well, they've got a lot of tremendous experience, with Ryan from his side of things, top five PK for the last little while here with the two teams that he's been with, and Jay, who I've known since Detroit, very detailed coach, very detailed in how he goes about his teaching process with with things that need to get accomplished on the power play. So he's got a long track record of, you know, having a top 10 power play as well. So all of exciting stuff, and I think very vast experience in those areas to really help help this young and experienced group at the same time.
What's your goal or goals for the season for the team performance?
Well, our expectation is to make playoffs, so it's that's our goal. And then we'll go from there.
First day of training camp. Are you comfortable with where the team is at right now? Are you still looking to add pieces?
No, I mean, this is our group right here. I mean, so we'll see. Like, you know, there's a lot of younger guys going to be pushing for jobs. So we shall see. That's why we have the exhibition games and training camp to see who pushes themselves through.
You mentioned the young guys leveling up here, you know, as a goal. What about just obviously Granlund, Kreider, Paling, Swartzwerger? What do you see the kind of impact they can make?
Well, I think for there's a couple at production. I mean, if you look at all their production, I think Kreider's last year was probably an anomaly for me in the sense that he had a tough season. I think every player you can look at through their history, they come across tough season. So the one thing about change, you know, and players being excited, it's fresh. I'm expecting a big bounce back season. He's going to be able to give us things that we haven't had. Granlund, 66 points last year. Expect a lot of that the same. He's a very smart player, very competitive player, and a guy that, you know, gets into the dirty areas of the ice, which is important to score goals. And so Paling as well, looking anywhere third, fourth line, you know, his production was points were in the 30. That's, you know, that was part of the, you know, thing that I was looking to improve in the bottom six production. So plus he kills penalties, you know, so there's a lot of things that have been added to the group, you know, subtly. So, which makes us deeper and we can put out four strong lines.
Beckett Seneca, what do you see the path forward for him right now? It feels like a very pivotal point for him.
What do you mean by that, Zach?
Just in terms of like juniors or NHL, it's not really another option.
You know what? We're going to go through this process that I went through with Leo, okay? So we're going to analyze to see where he is at the end of these 3-4 weeks here. And then, as I did with Leo, I've got a couple different plans in my mind, and we'll see and make the best decision, you know, at the end of training camp.
You mentioned, obviously, you want Mason in here sooner than later, but how much does Mikhail's importance throw with Mason not here?
I think there's a lot of, like, you know, Cutter Gauthier can play this, you know, can play center, you know, Paley can move up. We have Tim Washey. There's lots of options that can kind of fill, you know, I'm not saying we can fill the void completely, but, you know, there'd be, you know, guys, opportunities for players to step in into that role to, you know, to fill it that has to be done. I mean, it's no different than dealing with an injury all through the season. You know, guys go down, you're going to have to find somebody to plug holes. So that's kind of how we're approaching it.
Just to jump off that a little bit, you mentioned Cutter playing center. You did that in college. Do you see that as a realistic scenario at some point at all, even when Mason comes up?
I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure about that. You know, that ultimately, Coach and I discussed that thing, and we'll see what's best for the team is how our guys will be deployed.
Big expectations for this group out of the rebuild now, as Verbeek spoke about. Playoffs are the expectation. That is something that this team will be pushing for this year. They have a group that he likes, and now it's go time. Next up, we'll get to hear from head coach Joel Quenneville and everything he had to say after his first day out on the ice in quite a bit of time.
Joel, to have a whistle, to maybe bark some instructions out, do some instructing, to what did that mean to just even just have a whistle and all that?
That was a fun day. That was a First practice was great. The pace, the enthusiasm, the buildup of coming into being on the ice. I think we try to establish a little bit of how we want to play technically. But personally, I haven't barked at anybody in a long time, and I could just feel my head feeling like I was barking too long. But other than that, it was I like the enthusiasm of the guys, and some of these old drills that they probably haven't seen in a while. But I think we want to make sure that practices are going to be fast and have some pace and purpose. But I thought it was a productive day in a lot of ways, and it was a good first day for myself and our new staff that they're all new to me as well. So I think there was a lot of contribution from them and how we prepared this practice and training camp going forward as well. So we're all excited as a staff, and the players are excited. They were, and I thought that was one of those practices. We never usually practice that long, but I thought they handled it well. But that's the we want to establish that that's going to be the kind of pace going forward.
I know you probably won't want to belabor it the meaning to you, but obviously, basically 4 years essentially. Did it feel, surreal out there? Did it just feel like, okay, I'm back home?
Well, first of all,
when
I first stepped on the ice, I go, oh my gee, I don't know if I'm going to be able to stand up here. So that first lap I went around there, I was borderline, I would have got cut. Okay. And then after that, I think it was a lot better. And I think it was back to some of the, I was familiar with some of the drills we did, so that helps. But that familiarity coming back and trying to bark out habits is something that I like to do. And they learn, that this is one of those things that, hey, let's apply that regularly, and it becomes secondary in their mind. Is something that we like to do it, or that's why we do it. But I was happy with everybody out there today. It was a good first day. I was very happy with how it all went.
Chris Kreider described it as a culture practice. What is that culture to you?
No, I think we wanted, and as a team, I think we want to establish what kind of our what our identity is. And we want to be the hardest working team in the league. It's easy to say that. So that's an everyday thing to prove that that's where we're at. So you got to bring it every day, and that's a, leave it out there. That's how we're going to get better, and pushing one another, and expecting everybody to do the same.
You've seen a lot of these guys on tape, I'm sure. But what was the first impression of them on the ice, kind of working with some of these guys?
Big, fast, good tempo. Yeah, it was a, both groups were big and fast. Yeah, that was the one thing. And then you do that continually, that pace will even get quicker.
You mentioned this is a new staff as well for you. What's that like, getting to know new coaches and then, working together as a team that way?
I'm excited. I think they all bring something different. I think there's a lot of different backgrounds, be it drills, be it how they run power plays and how they kill penalties, or some ideas that they're fresh. I think everybody's got some experience on our staff as well. I'm looking forward to it. A lot of new guys I have never worked with, and but admired from afar, and knowing that we're fortunate to have the guys we have. We're in a good spot.
How much did you know Jay Woodcroft and Ryan McGill? Did you have much association or?
Yeah, whether they're fellow coaches, I think we all have an idea who everybody is. There's some times where we are all together, and you have you're talking with them, or you know everybody that's around them. So everybody knows everybody in the, it's a small world in a coaching fraternity. And I think everybody's kind of comfortable with knowing everybody in a different way. But at the same time, we feel that anybody we talk to, or doing your homework on looking at coaches, everybody has nothing but praise when we're talking about Giller or Jay, or even coming in, and Timmy was here as well. So it's a, they're all experienced and are good people as well.
New systems for a lot of these guys, and I'm curious about the defensive scheme specifically. It's been man-to-man for the last couple of years. How does your system that you're trying to implement differ from that?
It's more of a zone defense, pressure defense. We want to outman them in areas, and we want to kill plays. I mean, we spent a lot of time on our end last year. We want to make sure that that's a we want to do it to them instead of us. And I think that's a, but you got to kill plays in your own end, and you want to protect and keep the puck in the offensive zone. But that's a, that's an area of focus. It always has been. But everybody wants to play offense, so let's do a good job defensively, and we can enjoy having the puck. But it's easier said than done, too.
You mentioned easier said than done. To flip the ice with a club that's, like you said, has kind of struggled in that, you know, puck possession area and whatsoever, is that harder to do, or can, you know, can that be done in a reasonable, you know, amount of time to be able to flip the ice?
No, I think that, yeah, holding on to the puck, protecting the puck, getting on to the inside and putting in areas that you can sustain possession and zone time and, you know, involvement in all five guys. Everybody's part of the cycle or the possession game. Just place a premium on puck placement and a premium on possession. And when you are going to lose the puck, put in an area, you still got a 50-50 chance or take a face-off. So it's a, you know, just can't hope passes to the slot. It will be a no-no. And, you know, keeping the puck in it. But our own end is, that's where collectively all five guys working together, we're going to get better at, because it's going to be something we're going to take pride in.
You mentioned the big, fast team that you have. You obviously don't have Mason McTavish here. Is that a distraction on day one, or how do you not make it become a distraction?
Well, I think the guys are all professional. You gotta take care of what you can control. And in Mason's case, you know, we'd love to see him here, and we're understanding, and you know, these things happen. But I'm looking forward to coaching him, and at some point, I expect that to happen.
You've mentioned before that you've been in situations like this where you have a young team, you're trying to get them up the hill to where they're supposed to be, and that's one of the reasons this job appealed to you. In that process, how important are veterans? How important is leadership within the room to get you where you're going in terms of like guys like Gudas, guys like Kreider, guys who have done this before, buying into your vision?
Yeah, I think, you know, Troop's been a captain, and there's been some other guys in there as well that have, they're all experienced veterans, and, you know, Keller, and a lot of guys have been experienced in ways that they're responsible for the leadership department or their leadership group. I think we want to make sure that our younger guys start absorbing some of that and chip away and taking some ownership of the team and the leadership department. So it's whether it's Leo, whether it's, you know, the other names, you know, Cutter, whether it's on the back end as well. We've got some guys that, you know, I think they're all eager to be a part of it and excited to contribute in their way. They all got, they're good young pros, and I think that just keep flourishing in that way. You know, they're ready to grab some of that, and I think that's where we can be a better team if they contribute in a meaningful way.
So going off of that, young players, they go through plenty of ups and downs. There's a lot of guys on this team that are young. What is it, your philosophy when it comes to bringing out the most in those guys and being able to play to their potential?
Yeah, well, I think that's a good question when you got young players. I mean, everybody can't have a good game every night. You know, they're going to have some stretches where they're struggling a little bit. And, you know, I think that it's an everyday thing with young guys that you make sure that you know where they're at. That finite consistency is what we're all about, and predictability, be it defenseman or up front. That's a good measuring stick for being a young player. Once you start being in that way where you become reliable, then you use him more, and then all of a sudden he's going to get more ice time and more quality ice time. And, you know, I think good players, they want those opportunities, and that makes them good players, because, you know, you can count on them regularly and more often. So it's a and it's a reward business a little bit too, and how we delegate ice time.
When it comes to leaning on those young players, in the past, you know, as this team's been growing, a lot of leaning on veterans in tight spots or key portions of the game. As these kids develop and you see someone like Leo needing to take that next step, do you kind of just have to lean on some of these young kids and put them through that pressure cooker to get them to that point?
Yeah, I'm going to say, like, at the start of the year to the end of the year, everybody's going to have a chance to play with somebody at some point. And whether you're, you know, young as the season progresses, I mean, that's we're hockey players, and, you know, we're expecting you guys to hold your load and make sure that you can handle it and bring that consistency. You can grow as a person and a professional, and that reliability, like we mentioned, is what we're going to be counting on. And as a team, everybody should be getting better as we go along the season. And that pushing one another is healthy. But our guys are they're pretty excited. They've been around a group. Obviously, I've been around a group for a long time, anyways. But at the same time, this group feels good to me as far as the care and the push that could be internal as well, which is healthy. And you know, they want to do it.
Coach, off the ice, at your introductory press conference, you talked about how you wanted to speak to sexual assault survivors and organizations about how you can help and learn. How has that process been for you since you've arrived here?
That's been an ongoing process for over 4 years. I did a lot of work, talked to a lot of people. That's an everyday thing, I think, as a group here. We want to make sure that we're going to apply these lessons as we go along here. Make sure that on our watch, something like that doesn't happen again.
Are there any organizations you're working with here locally, specifically?
We've done a lot of work in the community since I've been here, and through the Ducks organization, we've met a lot of people. We've done some fun things, and I look forward to doing some more of it.
Your practices have been known to be more on the shorter side, but intense as well during that time. How does that? How have you seen how that affects a club over the long haul when it all adds up?
Yeah, you think that hopefully that you're not tiring the guys out, but I think you're keeping them quick and fast, and you got a different level of playing the game. And I think that you keep them ready for games with shorter practices instead of just wasting long talks on the ice, where some people like to do it that way. We can get that done before we go on the ice, but at the same time, we get the habits of this is our pace, and you know, we're ready to go. And it's like, no standing around, don't stand still when you get the pass. It's always motion, don't stand still passing. You know, do everything hard, and it's simple. I think it's a simple system. It's a simple philosophy. Keep it simple is what we talk about a lot.
From the coaching staff now to the captain, Radko Gudas, we get to hear about his perspective from that leadership perspective of what this first day meant to the group as they got out on the ice, saw all the new faces, and got going for the big season ahead. So let's hear from the Butcher now.
First day of training camp, what was the energy like with the new group?
I think the energy was very high. The pace was great. I think everybody wanted to show themselves in the best possible light in front of new coach, and I thought we all give everything we had today.
It's the first time that you got to be on the ice with Q in quite a while. What was that like? Did it feel kind of similar to before when you were coached by him?
Yeah, a lot of similarities. You know, he wants to have the energy on the ice. He wants us to go 100%. He wants us give hard passes and practice like we play. So it was a lot of similarities, and it was fun to hear a similar voice that I know already.
Did you speak with the group before getting on the ice today as your role as a leader?
I don't think I had to today. I think everybody was excited and pumped to go on, and we had great meetings before. We spoke with pretty much most of the coaches had something to say throughout the drill, so we know what's happening out there. And I don't think this is time for me to get the guys more pumped up that they already are.
How are you feeling physically coming to camp with the knee and all that?
Pretty good. I haven't had any hiccups or issues. I feel 100%, so yeah, ready to roll.
And then just how does the whole building feel different, you know, coming into year three here with a new coach, new vibe, new energy?
I mean, you can, like walking in the arena from the team buys, you know, it feels like refresh. Everybody's having kind of fresh start with new coach, and everybody wants to be at their best. And, you know, his resume speaks for himself, and we want to be the team that he wants to coach, and we want to do everything we can for him to be successful, and we want to be successful. And we talked about the rebuild being over, and we want to make the next step. So for us, this is a very important year to have a good start and make sure we grow into the players we are able to be.
What's the defining personality of his teams? What's the defining trait
of Q's teams?
Well, we want to be relentless. We want to kill the plays quick in our zone. We want to don't spend a lot of time in our zone. We want to play with the puck in offensive zone. And if we can spend more time in no zone than D zone, we want to hold on to the puck. I think we're going to have a lot more fun scoring goals and controlling the game. So for him, keeping the puck, making sure we're quick in places. We all understand the D zone. That is the main focus, I would say, for the first few days in the camp, that we have that down and make sure we can kill plays. And like I said, don't spend a lot of time in our zone and just have the energy, be the hardest working team on the ice.
Does he value more puck possession than other coaches?
I don't know if he values it more than other coaches. I'm pretty sure all coaches value having the puck. Yeah, he puts a big emphasis on, especially in our zone, to hold on to it, make plays, be on the right side of the puck, make smart plays. And, you know, he is very hard on the things that he wants, and he wants all the details right, and he's very vocal about it. So that's very very good to know. The gray areas, if we have a question, he's able to answer those. And like I said, we had one meeting before, and everybody knew exactly what was happening. So it was a good first day.
What do you think the player's perspective is on Mason McTavish not being here, and have you had any contact with him recently?
Yeah, he was here until a couple of days ago. We all know, understand what situation he is in. Obviously, we would love to have him here. He's a huge part of this group. We all love him as a guy. We understand what role he's in. Unfortunately, they haven't been able to get the deal done, but we all count with him. We just can't wait to get him around here and get him up to speed, and he's very important for us. So we're all hoping this is going to get resolved as soon as possible.
Going back to the summer, your recovery and your rehab, could you kind of walk us through what you were doing to kind of get back to 100%?
Well, it wasn't as bad as we thought. Didn't end up getting anything really major. So a lot of rehabilitation, make sure the knee's stable. Didn't really need any major things into it. So I thought overall I did as much as I could, rehabbing as much, feeling good to be 100% in this season. And yeah, I feel really good.
Was that something that you kind of dealt with for most of last season?
Oh, I wouldn't say most of it. I did feel a little bit, but nothing really that would change the course of my game. So, yeah, it was just one of the small things that happens throughout the season, that 10 of those things happen throughout the season, you know.
With the Olympics this year, does that change your preparation in terms of keeping yourself, you know, healthier going into February and things like that?
I mean, it's still very far. It's obviously a great opportunity for us to go play best on best hockey. Olympics is always the cherry on top of all the athletes. We haven't been able to go last two times, so I think this time everybody's excited to go. But I can't say it's any different to preparing for the season. Everybody has the season as the main focus, and if they stay healthy, if they stay in a good shape and form, then they're able to go to play in the Olympics. But out of in front of that, there's 50 more games to be able to play, then we want to make sure that Anaheim is on the number one on everybody's ranking. So we want to make sure we have a good season. And then once the Olympics come close, then I think guys are going to start thinking about it more once the nomination comes out. But until then, it's still very far. We want to focus on the things we can control right now.
Off the ice, your daughter Tinka is working with the Ducks for fundraisers and things like that. What does it mean to have your kids involved with the organization that you're playing for?
It's amazing. I'm really grateful for her opportunity, and they like the way she performs, and I think she loves to perform for them as well. So it's a great dynamic. Never thought I would have the opportunity to have one of my kids do this, but she's all thrilled, and I'm happy that Anaheim gave her this opportunity. And like I said, she's as thrilled as they can possibly be.
From the captain now to a newcomer, Chris Kreider spoke for, I believe it would be really the first time in a media scrum here in Anaheim. I mean, he did his availability upon the trade, but this is different when you're in person with him. So Chris Kreider spoke at length about how this first day was all about culture setting. That's what he says here in this interview with the media, and talked about how they really want to build something this season. So let's take a listen to Chris Kreider.
We want to practice. This is the way we're going to approach every single day. I think it was a good day, so we just build on today.
You mentioned, like I said, the up-tempo part. How much had you heard about a Coach Q practice, and how much did the reality match?
I mean, a little bit. Obviously, Radko and Frank played from the past, so knew what to expect a little bit going in, and seeing the drills before cracks on the board and stuff. But I don't think anything can really recreate being out there and doing it. So, but it was fun. It was hard. It was good. It was fun.
It's known to be quick, get them in, get them out. But when you're doing it for the length of time, it's intense.
It's fast. Yeah. I don't think there was a wasted second out there. Everything was done with a purpose. Every Joe was done with a purpose. So that was it's good practice.
How strange is it? New uniform, new teammates, new coast, everything just straight different for you after a long time.
Yeah, but I mean, this has been several months in the making, so and everyone's been so welcoming, so I'm starting to feel at home here.
I know you've been asked this several times, but it is nice to have a few familiar guys in the locker room, that especially when you get here on the ice, that it kind of makes it feel normal again.
Yeah, the hockey world gets small the longer you play, and I feel like I've crossed paths with most of these guys in some shape or form. That settlement's just been, it's a band to have Frank and Stromer and even Troops. And I mean, my agent's got a couple other guys on the team, so there's just different connections throughout the lineup. So being able to ask them questions and converse with them on the off and off phone makes it a much easier transition.
Now, for season for you, is there anything that you're looking forward to the most this year?
Good question. Staying healthy, helping this team win hockey games. I think that's the biggest thing. Obviously, last year was frustrating for me personally and for our group. Moving beyond it, focusing right now on this group, whenever we can find Oshinot. You guys probably have heard it several times and are going to keep hearing it, but there's an unbelievable energy around this place. And people are really excited, really optimistic, just excited to come into work.
Are you entering camp in the season whatsoever at 100%? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When it comes to, obviously we talked about the tempo the coach keeps setting, but what do you make of your teammates here on the ice and what kind of on-the-ice product were you able to put out?
Fast, skilled. It's a big group too. A lot of the young guys are pretty big fellas. I mean, Leo's obviously not small, Cutter, but they all get around the ice so well. You saw it today, just getting up and down the ice. Everyone can skate, everyone can make plays. And it's just about getting everybody on the same page. I mean, there's a great work ethic up and down the group. And I do think that, said a bunch of times, you're going to keep hearing it, but the energy around the building, the optimism, that makes it, you know, that much easier, and that lifts everyone up. And you're going to have good competitive up-tempo practices, and guys are excited to be here, excited to work, excited to get better.
You've skated with a couple of pretty good Swedish centers in your time. What do you make of Leo skating on his line today?
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't a ton of line stuff, obviously. Like I said, it was more of a culture-setting practice, right? But I think it's pretty obvious what he brings to the table, right? Size, speed, reach, skill, vision. That to be that size in the move like he does, and it's just a unique player.
Working with Q, what are the biggest thing or the things that you anticipate? Just work the relationship, the coach-player relationship with Q.
Yeah, to be honest, not really anticipating anything. Got to build that, right? So I've talked to him a few times. A lot of it, like going back to what I said before, hockey world small, so there's a lot of, you know, word of mouth, guys' experiences playing for a coach or playing with a guy. So you hear very positive things. You kind of, from the outside looking in, you kind of know, you think you know what it's about, but yeah, you really have to build that over the course of the season, right? So, one practice in, but... Excited to get after getting them all.
In those conversations, does he ask you to do or exemplify anything in particular as a veteran guy coming in as example on a team with a lot of younger guys?
Yeah, I think just conducting yourself like a good professional, showing up and working and doing what's gotten, I guess, all of us to this point, right, and continuing to build on that. But I don't think the approach is different than any other year in my career, and it shouldn't be for anyone else in this room. Like, need to come in, and you guys are gonna get sick of this cliche, but I'm gonna regurgitate it over and over. It's about getting better every single day, and everyone right now is getting to their first day of training camp, thinking they have a great chance to win a Stanley Cup. Right? It's a long, long road ahead. Everyone's optimistic. Everyone's excited. Got to work every single day. So.
Another newcomer next on the list, Mikael Granlund. We got to chat with him about his first day wearing a Ducks uniform and how he can build off of the summer that he had. So let's take a listen to Granlund now.
Mikhail Granlund joins us now. First day of training camp. How did it feel to get out on the ice with the new group?
Good. It's obviously good to get out there again, start really working. You know, it's a long summer, so everybody was excited. And it was good to get out there again.
Long summer, but not as long for you with the playoffs and everything. You know, how did that experience and everything kind of drive you throughout the rest of the off season as you looked ahead to this year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, always as a player, you want to get as deep as you can in the playoffs and obviously win it all. So it was cool to get all the way to the conference finals, but I don't know if that has anything to do with this season anymore. Yeah. You know, you just kind of, you do your thing. You now in a training camp start to get ready for the season. Let's just go from there.
New team for you. What was it like getting out there today, just getting to skate with the guys, kind of get adjusted? And obviously today is all about getting comfortable, but what was it like today?
Yeah, it was really good to get out there with the guys. You know, you kind of start to see the guys more when you're really going high pace out there. And when we get to scrimmages and all that, you get to know guys' tendencies and all that. So it's good to get these practices and try to, obviously get ready yourself, but at the same time getting to know your teammates.
Also getting to know the new coaching staff, Coach Q in particular. Anything today that, you took from him in this first practice?
No, I mean, it was a good practice, yeah. A lot of pace, like usually it is in the training camps in the first day. So, it was good practice. Obviously, he's been doing this for a long time. He knows what he's doing out there. So I really think boys were excited, and it was a good hard skate.
Extra sense of excitement maybe today. I mean, it's almost like first day of school vibe sort of with everyone back here.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. How it is, yeah. It's exciting to get the training camp, and obviously the next step is to get to the first exhibition games, and then the biggest goal is for the first regular season game. So it's just the way it goes. But this was the first day; everybody was excited, and let's just go from here.
Do you feel like one of the things that Chris Kreider shared was it was almost like a culture building stepping stone today, just the first day of building this culture here? How do you see your role in that end growing this year?
For sure. I mean, obviously there's some new faces here, and obviously new coaches and all that. So you really want to start build that, what we're going to look like in the games. So obviously there was some system stuff there, but at the same time, how we work, what's the pace out there. That's for me, I try to keep my everything every single day, and hopefully that's enough.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And rounding out our training camp coverage, Leo Carlson made his way over to the locker room as our last interview for the day. A little bit tired, understandably so, after a very fast, quick, high energy first day of camp. So let's get to hear from Leo Carlson now.
All right. First day of training camp for Leo Carlson. Yep. How are things going since you got off the ice, got a little bit of off-ice training too? How are you feeling?
Pretty tired, but it was fun. Great to have first practice with Q and all the other coaches. Come back with the team, so it was fun.
Did it feel different this time?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know exactly why, but it was... I don't know exactly why it was different, but, higher pace, I think. Just pretty normal first day though, but he's higher pace.
Like first day of school vibes, getting back out on the ice. You feel that excitement this morning?
Yeah, definitely. Felt good this morning. Actually not tired at all, which I'm usually on, but it was fun.
With Coach Q, obviously a change for this group. Do you think that the way, he ran this first day, did you feel that difference from him already in the group?
Yeah, felt good. I must say, I said before, he's really high pace. Not a lot of resting. Super high pace. It was fun out there. It was communicating good as well. So it was fun.
What was the message from the staff going into today's first practice?
let's get the legs going. We said that this was going to be the longest practice all year, so we'll see if that's the case. But no, it was, the message was just like, you know, say it again, but high pace. you know, having fun out there and get going.
So one of the things in this first practice for you is you were skating with Troy Terry and Chris Kreider. Obviously a change for you. What did you like about being alongside them?
Yeah, it's not like a lot of touches yet, but it was just, I mean, I played with Troy a lot first year, and then Kreider is just a really easy player to play with. Just, you know, that's like all the hard work for me and Troy, so it's perfect.
One thing off the ice, you golfed with a certain golfer yesterday, professional PGA golfer. What was that experience like? And you want to share you a little bit more about the day?
Yeah, it was great. Just super nice guy, like super down to earth, real nice guy. Yeah, I was a little nervous at the first couple holes, but didn't play great. But then I came back. But yeah, just an awesome day. See how like different levels are for real. So yeah, he's just a great guy and obviously amazing golfer.
Yeah, who all was in that foursome that you can share with everyone listening?
Who else?
Yes, yeah.
What's my free Swedish friend, Joakim Nordin, who lives here, which I've got to know now for 3 years. Then it was his Swedish friend as well, who works in golf, like instructor or not instructor, but something like that. And I think he knew Max Homa somehow, so it was just a weird match, but it was fun.
Is he going to come out to a game this year, Max?
I didn't ask him about that, to be honest. I don't think he lives here. I think he lives in Arizona, but I will try to.
Did the golf help you reset for this first big day?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I got a little sunburn, but otherwise it was good.
All right. Thank you, Leo.
Thank you.
And that'll do it of our coverage of day one of the Anaheim Ducks training camp. So much ahead for this team as you look ahead to the exhibition games next couple of weeks as the cuts start to happen in camp and who's going to be making this Ducks roster off the bat. Exciting times and some serious decisions that are going to have to be made as there is certainly some competitiveness between some of these younger players looking to make a spot and an impact during this preseason. Make sure to join us back next time, as always, right here on Light the Lamp for more hockey talk, and we'll see you then.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.